So you have been practicing breath awareness meditation for several minutes, and at home in seclusion, this practice will continue for much longer and in better conditions. Here there are disturbances, noises, and not enough time. So here we can only learn how to. But the real practice happens at home in seclusion. So today we are going to start practicing a new kind of meditation. But before we begin this new meditation, we have to practice breathing awareness meditation first, which you have done for some time. Assuming there is some level of mindfulness of breath, some level of concentration on breath. Assuming that, now move your attention from the breath to your eyes. Just gently move it to the sockets of the eye and mentally touch the eyes. And try to feel the inside and outside of the eye area. Just gently move your attention over the eye, eyeballs, inside and outside, both the eyes. And find out if you can feel the eyes by mentally touching them. You might experience some tingling sensations when you move your attention over the eyes. Maybe some warmth, or maybe some kind of rush of blood, maybe. There is some sensation as you move your awareness, your attention over the eyes. Assuming you're able to feel the eyes. Now very gently, very, very slowly, gracefully, open the eyes and look at the object in front of you. There is a white ping pong ball in front of you. So you are simply going to open the eyes, not too high, neither too low. And then just look in front of you at the ping pong ball. You are looking but not looking. There should be effortless effort in your seeing. Is looking at the ball and focusing on the object. Focus means concentration. So as you maintain that concentration on the object, as you anchor your attention on the object, without letting go of that focus, now expand your vision. Try to become mindful of the space surrounding the object. Keep expanding your vision until the outermost edges of the eye without removing the focus from the object. So you are concentrating on the object and you are becoming mindful of the space surrounding the object. Whenever there is some sense of tension, you can gently close your eyes and go back to feeling the eyeballs. And when you are ready again, gently open the eyes and again look at the object with mindfulness and concentration. The key is to try to look at the object from the outermost edges of your eyes. Make your vision panoramic and not constricted. Panoramic vision facilitates the expansion of consciousness. And in this case, it's the visual consciousness. Again, gently close your eyes. Take your attention to the eyeballs. So at home you will do this for several more minutes. And then now I want you to expand your awareness beyond this room. You can visualize what is beyond the room. Just take your awareness outside the four walls. Expand it further and further and further, and try to visualize the neighborhood and the city. then the state, you're simply trying to bring back to memory the places you have visited that facilitates expansion, visualization. If the mind wanders away, gently again open the eyes and look at the object, and then again go back to visualization and expansion of your awareness. You are expanding your awareness through visualization. Keep expanding, and now look at the entire world. From city, you've gone to the states, the boundaries of United States. From there you expand it, encompass the continents. Now look at the whole world. And in order to facilitate visualization, we are going to use some images. And since you have not seen those images before, you will gently open your eyes and just look at the screen and just take a mental picture of that image. So you can gently open the eyes and look at the screen. So you're as if looking at the entire world from space. To that extent, your awareness has expanded. And then continue your visualization. So I encourage all to now just keep your eyes open, since we are just learning the process now. So everybody can look at the screen. And so as you expand your awareness, you go beyond the whole world and look at the earth from space. So as if your awareness is that empty space above and you are looking at the earth from space. So just take a mental picture of that image so you can use it when you do your practice at home. Then from there, continue to expand and look at the whole earth from space. And continue expanding and look at the entire solar system from space. It's just an exercise in visualization and expansion of consciousness. And it can be understood only through experience what is meant by expansion of consciousness. You continue expanding, you go beyond the solar system and look at the Milky Way. So take a mental picture of that. Keep expanding and look at the Milky Way and other galaxies together, and you are expanding. And then look at a region of space where there are many galaxies. And this picture is it's called a deep field shot by Hubble, very popular picture. So you keep expanding. There are probably a zillion galaxies there. And then a time comes when really the supramundane experience of consciousness occurs, where you expand to such a level that you feel as if you're looking at the entire universe from outside. And this is actually a pictorial depiction of the visible universe. It's an actual depiction, but it's as if the awareness is that the empty dark space surrounding the entire universe. That kind of experience you get. But from here to here, there is a quantum jump there, and it takes a lot of practice. But the purpose is to expand the awareness to such an extent that it becomes boundless. And then again, you go back. Just visualizing. Once you have taken the mental image, the snapshot of the screen, then it's easy to visualize it in your meditation. Unfortunately, there is something wrong with the screen, so the pictures are a little bit contracted, but you got the idea of how we use visualization . Great. And from there, you slowly bring it back to this room, back onto your object, and again, you expand and you contract. And you expand and contract. There's a lot of skill involved in that, but that whole process, that whole practice, will completely change the way you look at things. Will completely change your sense of vision. And last weekend, we talked about how we can use all our senses intelligently. Some of you were not present, but last weekend we started a new series on the subject of senses, sensuality, and we briefly discussed how all the five senses can be used intelligently. not in a mundane way, which is what we do, right? We use sense of vision for entertainment, mostly unconsciously, not knowingly. But now we are going to learn how to use the sense of vision for enchantment, wholesome enchantment. How we can use the sense of hearing, not for entertainment, but entrainment. So on and so forth. And to develop that skill, to make the senses intelligent, we have to practice different kinds of meditation. And so today we just briefly, very, very briefly went through the meditation which facilitates enchantment. It's a visual meditation. With practice, you will realize that whenever you look at things, no longer your vision is constricted. For some reason, you develop that panoramic sense of vision, and you look at things from a broader perspective. It's not just vision, material vision, but you know, that sense of openness, that expanded sense of looking at things. Sometimes we look at things in a very narrow way, right? And then we derive perception from our narrow vision, and that can lead to suffering. So how we expand our vision, how we make the act of seeing enchanting, you know? And last weekend we talked about that, and those who were not present, please check out the audio on the website. But the purpose is to look at things intelligently. When you go out from here today, look at Pikes Peak along with the space that surrounds the Pikes Peak. Just look at beyond the edges of the Pikes Peak, beyond the edges of that whole range, and you can experience that enchantment in that moment. Yeah. It's very easy. And the same Pikes Peak, the same vision, same picture is now more intimate, it's more enjoyable. Because you are looking at it, you know, with an expanded sense of vision. And like we talked about last time, when your vision is expanded, then whatever you look at, it doesn't generate aversion or craving, right? We did that experiment last weekend. People looked at this and they felt kind of, they wanted to push it away. They did not want to look at the picture. Why? Because their vision was narrow. It's like just right on those that object. But if you look at the same picture beyond the edges of the picture, suddenly there is some release in your vision. Suddenly that aversion will go away, and maybe compassion will arise, and you'll be able to deal with unwholesome situation more intelligently. Same with this picture. If you just look at it, you might cling to it, you might crave it, right? But if you just slightly expand your vision, look at the whole screen and not just the puppy, you know, you will see that very subtle release there. And there will be that wholesome enchantment in your vision, rather than a desire for a puppy, you know, right? Rather than wanting to have a puppy. Not that we should not have one, it's just that whole purpose of developing the equanimity of mind. You know, this whole practice is about balancing the mind, neutralizing the mind, so we can, they say, wield the mind. You see, just like a martial artist, he wields or she wields her weapon, right? the weapon becomes one with the body, or a tennis player. You should see these players playing, that racket is kind of extension of their body. To that extent, they are willing the thing. And when we do these practices, we learn to will the mind, use it to our advantage. We basically attain mastery of mind. And all the suffering, all defilements, pain, disease, if you were to look at the root cause of that, it will be ultimately somewhere in the domain of mind. Ultimately. So if we want to get rid of all the suffering, all the pain, all the defilements permanently, we have to go to the root, which is the mind. And that's what we are doing here. Great. Any questions on what we practice today? It's a different kind of meditation, and you have not come before, so the fundamentals may not be clear to you yet. But as you come, maybe 2-3 times, then things start becoming clear and start understanding the whole practice. Any thoughts? And by the way, another advantage of what I personally, in my meditation practice, I also use this idea to deal with boredom. Boredom is a real thing, right? In meditation, in fact, it's the number one hindrance, right? It's related to sloth and torpor. After like few minutes of meditation, you want to do something, right? Like you want to see something, hear something, right? Give me something to do. It's a very typical reaction, right? How do we deal with that boredom intelligently? This is the way. When you no longer can keep your eyes closed, gently open it with awareness. Start looking at the object. Yeah. When the boredom goes away, again close your eyes, back to your breath. So like that you can deal with boredom. Because if we try to push away boredom, it becomes worse. And our whole practice is to eliminate craving and aversion, right? So and apparently boredom is, have you read about the mission to Mars, the human mission to Mars, anybody? What they're saying is, it's possible for us to go to the Mars. It's, I think, 2.5 years journey. Technically, financially, it's all possible. The main problem they're facing with is boredom. They're finding out that the astronauts are going to get so bored that they're going to harm each other. And they're saying the biggest danger in that mission to Mars are the astronauts themselves, nothing else. Because they're going to get so miserable just sitting there for 2.5 years that they might even just kill each other. And they have done some experiments on those and realized that there'll be major, major conflicts among the astronauts because they won't be able to handle the boredom. So it's becoming apparent that for going beyond the moon, meditation is going to become necessary as a practice for even for astronauts. And I thought that was quite interesting. Do you have any questions?
done a lot of other meditation techniques also before. So this is not something that totally was very new to me, but it's a different experience altogether anyway, because every experience is a different experience.
Right. Great.
It's not overwhelming.
Okay. Great. Great. And what other meditations have you practiced?
One thing that I usually practice whenever I have free time is the Swami Nityananda's meditation technique.
Okay.
Where you hum, you're humming for the whole 45 minutes, you're humming.
Okay.
And 15 minutes you sit in silence after the humming is done.
Okay.
Usually we do it in a group.
Okay.
Like even we are in the camp.
Right.
Where we hum, it's a Tibetan Buddhist meditation technique.
Okay.
I like that the best of all the meditation. I've done a few more others.
Right.
Let go one also we have done.
Okay.
Where we, instead of saying let go, say out negative things, in positive things.
Okay.
Out negative things, in basically the technique
the,
is the same.
Right.
So that's what my guru used to tell. Out in. So when you say out negative. When you say in, you say in positive.
Great.
So that is the similar to what let go we have done.
Yeah. Excellent.
But the Tibetan Buddhist meditation technique is, I feel like totally energized after I'm done. But it's a 1 hour technique.
Okay.
45 minutes we are humming.
Humming,
we
right?
Do it in a big group. Humming. The concept is as loud as possible, as long as possible, and as minimum gap as possible between the two hums.
Two hums, okay.
So, I mean, it's up to your capacity. There is nothing like you have to sync up with the other person next to you.
Right.
But you realize that after a few minutes, you automatically sync up with the next, and you don't even realize that you're really syncing up.
Wonderful.
And then we have like a bell, a small ring, like a bell, like a thing, like sound will be coming.
Right.
As soon as the bell sound stops, that's when you know that 45 minutes is done.
It's over, okay.
And then you sit in silence for 15 minutes. And again, three times,
okay.
He has a bell,
great.
So that way you know that you can open that.
That's wonderful. One thing that I noted was you said sync, right? Sync with everything.
Right.
And we are going to try those too for hearing, making the act of hearing more intelligent by transforming it into the act of entrainment. What is syncing? It's entrainment, right? So we're going to try that too. So basically you're practicing entrainment. The reason I'm starting with vision is because in my opinion, I think the vision is the subtlest sense. The seeingness is the subtlest sense. And this may not be, this is just my thought, but if you notice, the eyes are at the highest level in the whole embodiment. You see that? Your eyes are here and then ears are slightly lower. Yeah? This is about a half an inch. Then you got the nose. So vision, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. That's the hierarchy I feel, you know. So
mind, I think, is controlling everything, I guess.
Correct, right. And then you go beyond the senses, and that's what we are doing, really, you know. We are trying to remove the imprisonment of senses. Yeah. The slight difference is we are not only entraining, but in syncing, right, with the sound, but we are trying to hear entrain with the wisdom, because the practice here focuses more not on some experience but on development of wisdom, on development of understanding, intelligence, you know. So that's generally what we do. And but you know, ultimately I think all the practices are leading to that, right? Development of wisdom, so that ignorance is eradicated and there is freedom from suffering. Don?
I fully agree that every discipline that I've studied seems to be moving in that same perfect direction of relieving suffering. There's a sense of always trying to understand that your senses are providing you information and not the truth.
Yep. That's a very good statement. Yeah. It's just a stimulus, some kind of input, right? Mm-hmm. We have to process that information intelligently. That's what you are learning here. Just like the ugly picture, right? In this practice, you will realize, with practice, you will realize that you will no longer be driven by the beauty of the world or taken aback by its ugliness. You know, you will be able to, whether you go to a third world country or go to Switzerland, you will be at ease in both places. You know, the scenery of the world will no longer rule you.
When I see that picture, it takes me back to when I first started in medicine, and there's a sense of, you know, somebody comes in the ER and they're missing a hand, and all of that kind of thing that scares us and shocks us. Yeah. And then after you train your mind through medicine and experiencing it, is, you know, your compassion and more have to come out than any sort of revulsion. So it's a, you know, back to what you're saying about, you know, you train your mind so that you can separate yourself from your fear of it or revulsion or too much attachment.
Yep. You're transcending all the unwholesome elements so you can deal with what you're facing intelligently. You know? Satish, anything?
There is a, I'm still trying to understand this. Because, as you said, it's not being insensitive. But generally, when I look at, you know, when I look at nature, I don't associate myself.
Right.
And I'm just staying back. I don't feel like being attached, or there isn't a reaction.
Okay. Right.
When I'm developing that kind of perception, it's not the word, but where am I going? Am I becoming more insensitive? Or am I becoming equanimous?
Right, you are not becoming insensitive but super sensitive. That's what we talked about. And that can be understood only through practice. You know, that equanimity is about becoming, again, super sensitive. You know, it's about transcending the mundane aspects of our experiences. That's what equanimity does, non-reaction equanimity. It allows us to go beyond the mediocrity. You're experiencing everything, but you're experiencing it at a very higher level, you know? Like I said, Pike's Peak, on your daily experience of the vision of Pike's Peak, compare that with the expanded vision of Pike's Peak, you know? Apply to this technique to just look at Pike's Peak beyond its edges, in the midst of emptiness and stillness of the space that is surrounding the Pike's Peak, and you'll experience that enchantment, wholesome enchantment in your vision, you know? So neither you will, and what is that enchantment? It is not insensitivity, you know? You've gone beyond mediocrity, meaning neither you are shocked by anything, like we were saying last time, nor you are disgusted by anything, you know. You graduate from that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I have that kind of perception when I look at things.
Right.
There is no reaction.
Right.
But I'm doing a self-interrogation.
Right.
Am I being insensitive? Here I know what I'm feeling.
One way to understand that is when you look at this picture, if compassion doesn't arise, then you are insensitive.
Which is not the case, definitely.
If compassion arises, then you are super sensitive. Very simple. Same here. If, what is it called? Enchantment doesn't arise, then you are insensitive. Right? It's like that. Same with words, any sound forms. If entrenchment doesn't arise and you are not in reacting, then you are becoming insensitive. Like the hard rock listeners, right? Or people who don't pay attention, or they will say, let it come from here and go from here, right? That's being insensitive. So, great. Thank you.